Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
We're going to open our Bibles tonight just to the classic Yom Kippur texts. And we're going to look, if you will, at Leviticus chapter 16. One of the ways, beloved saints, that we interpret now, one of the ways we have as God's people in Breath of the Spirit always interpreted Yom Kippur is that we interpret Yom Kippur through the lens of Calvary. Say this with me. We interpret Day of Atonement through the Day of Atonement. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 3, the Bible says in the ninth verse, in the last line of the ninth verse, the Bible says, and the Lord will forgive the iniquity of the land in one day. That one day is Day of Atonement. Sit with me. That one day is Day of Atonement. All throughout the book of Zechariah, who is one of the greatest messianic prophets, Zechariah uses the term on that day. He is referring to later on that day actually became a quotation in the Talmud, in the Mishnah, particularly under Mishnah Yom Rabbah, as that day as Yom Kippur. Are you following me? Amen. All right. Now, it's so important for us to see the messianic mysteries of Yom Kippur. And one of the ways we're going to understand that is through the concept of blood evidence. Many of you have heard this, but some of you have not. But this is the only way we as Breath of the Spirit and in our mode of understanding can possibly begin to understand this particular biblical feast. We have to understand it through the context of blood evidence. When there is a court of law and evidence is being presented, first of all, the burden of proof is placed upon the responsibility of those that put the claim in. So whatever the claim is from parties or a person, the burden of proof must be established, and it is the person or the parties that are presenting the claim to produce the burden of proof. First of all, I want you to know that heaven is presenting a case for us tonight. And that case is, number one, the power of the prosecutor has been broken. You heard Pastor Sanjay earlier speaking about the enemy accusing Israel before God. And we see in the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, the Bible tells us in the 10th verse, the Bible says, to rejoice, you heavens, and sing, because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them night and day before God. The way the accuser was cast down was through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? If you were with us last night, you understand, looking at 1 Chronicles, we're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I want to show you an example of this. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, looking at verse 1. I want to show you how the blood of Jesus goes to battle for you in war. And somebody should say tonight, the precious blood of Jesus is a weapon of war against the enemy. I want you to see it. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says, and Satan stood up against Israel. What does it mean when the Bible says Satan stood up against Israel? It meant he was accusing Israel. He wanted to find fault and entrance to make Israel fall before their enemies. Are you following me? Just as Dr. Sanjay read from Job about Satan wanting to accuse and find fault for Job. We also see this particular text is showing us he wanted Israel to fall in the war. And so he provoked David to number Israel. What does that mean? It doesn't mean it was wrong to take a census. Actually, it's a command to take a census. The Bible says, when you number, not do not number, but every man who was to be numbered, there must be an atonement over their head when they go to war. That means you don't count heads. You count a half a shekel of silver for a head. That would mean when they go to war, they're covered. Say this with me. When they go to war, they're covered. Okay, did we see this? Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Did you see that? Okay, now let's go very quickly. We're going to go over to Exodus chapter 30. If you were with us last night, you got a basic foundation of this. Exodus chapter 30. And I want us to see in Exodus chapter 30, we're going to see the concept of the shkalim. Say it with me, the shkalim. Okay, now I'm going to show you blood evidence here. When you say, Dr. Corral, what are you talking about, blood evidence? You see, blood evidence is always identified through a profiling, a DNA profiling or patterns. And throughout the scripture, we see patterns, don't we? We see types and shadows and patterns of what Calvary looks like. And we know that God ordered it. And we know that we see patterns of the passion of Christ. We see patterns which we call messianic markers that reveal what happened on Calvary. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. Amen. The shkalim are going to show us something very powerful about the cross and are going to show us something about the work of Calvary and are also going to show us how the enemy is defeated in our life when we go to war. Are you with me? How many warriors do we have here tonight that need to have the protection of the powerful blood of Jesus on you when you go to war? Amen. Let's look, and I'm going to ask Pastor Sanjay to do the reading from Exodus chapter 30, looking at verse 12 and then verse 16.
Exodus 30, verse 12 and 13.
No, 12 and 16. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Pastor. Yes. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them.
Okay, when you take a sum, that means the census, among the children of Israel, you shall take a half a shekel of silver. Why? That there may be no plague among them. It says, they will give every man a what?
Ransom.
Say it with me. Every man a what?
Ransom.
Okay, a ransom translated from English to Hebrew is the word kafar, which actually means atonement. So you will give every man an atonement for his soul. Say it.
Every man atonement for his soul.
So this means God was requiring an atonement over every head for the battle. Are you hearing me? And to go to war without a battle, without the atonement over their head was forbidden by God. Do you see that? Do you know why? Because when the atonement was over their head, the accuser could not come in. I hope you're hearing me. I said when the atonement was over their head, the accuser had no entrance and could not enter to accuse Israel before God to make them fall before their enemies. Somebody ought to say, I'm going to put the atonement over me every time I go to battle. The enemy cannot accuse me before God and make me fall in the battle. Are you with me? Are we beginning to understand this?
Yes.
They will give every man an atonement or a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague. Now, you know what happened when Satan stood up against Israel and he provoked David to number. That means he did not take a ransom for every soul. That means every soul went to war without atonement. And when you go to war without atonement, you will fall before your enemies. So you ought to say, the only weapon that I have is the blood of Jesus and his word. Somebody ought to say tonight, in the name of Jesus, when I go to war, I've got protection. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I cannot stand up against demonic spirits without the atoning blood of the Lamb. Are you understanding? All right. So the plague did break out. And 70,000 fell in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. They fell before the Lord, and the Lord dispatched the angel with the sword. And the powerful anointing came. And I want you to understand, the angel of God, the angel of God had the sword, and he was ready to slay Jerusalem. And the prophet Gad came to David and said, choose whatever you want. Choose three things. And he gave him three options for the plague to stop. And David said, I'm going to just trust God. I'm going to fall into the hands of God because he's merciful. Let the Lord make the decision. And 70,000 fell in one day. And look, and so in order for the plague to stop, the prophet Gad came and gave David a remedy. Say it with me, a remedy. But you see, every remedy in the Bible that is used against the powers of darkness, and every remedy of atonement has only one match to it. It has to look like Calvary. Say this with me. God, when he sees it, there must be a miraculous memorial that looks like Calvary or reminds God of Calvary. Say this with me. A memorial of Calvary. Now, if we go to verse 16, Pastor Sanjay is going to read verse 16. Let's go ahead and look at verse 16. Go ahead.
And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls.
Okay, first of all of the shkalim, or the shekels that were collected, are now holy, and they're tabernacle monies. They're monies that are going to be laid up for the children of Israel. What does that mean? That means it's their atonement, okay? It's going to be laid up for the children of Israel. What? Before the Lord as a memorial, so that when God looks at it, it reminds him of something. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know exactly what it reminds God of. Because the Son of God, say this with me, the Son of God became a ransom. And he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Are you hearing this? So that when God would look at that, the Bible says, as a memorial. Now, I want you to understand, in Hebrew, a memorial does not just mean something past. For God, when it's a memorial before God, it can also mean something in the future. So that means there must be something to remind God of what is going to actually happen in the future. Are you hearing me? So when God beheld those shkalim, those shekels, do you see what is God going? What is it going to remind God of? Something that's going to happen in the future that the prophet Zechariah prophesied before it happened. The messianic prophet Zechariah said, if you think me good, hallelujah, then my price will be 30 pieces of silver. Are you with me? Jesus was ransomed. Now, I want you to understand something. This is why it's going to remind God. It's not just only the shkalim. It's what the shkalim were used for. Do you realize those shkalim that were laid up in the temple as a memorial for the children of Israel before God? That every one of those shkalim could only be used for one thing. Notice what it says. It says appointed for the service of the tabernacle. Say this with me. Appointed for the service of the tabernacle. Do you know what it was appointed for? It was appointed to buy lambs. I'm going to say this again. Maybe I'll just say this over here. I said the shkalim, the silver shkalim, were set aside to buy lambs. Say this with me. The shkalim were set aside to purchase lambs for an offering. Oh, my goodness. Can I get a witness somewhere? To purchase lambs. So when God looks at those shkalim, he knows it's temple treasury. Turn to your neighbor and say, not just treasury, temple treasury. To purchase lambs. Now, if you want to know what lambs they were lambs that were bred by the Levitical shepherds. Okay, there was laws in the first century, especially because the Levites did not have the same mission that they had during the times of David, nor did they have the same mission that they had in the time of the wandering in the wilderness. So the priests who assigned the Levites, because they were servants to the priest, assigned them to be Levitical shepherds in Bethlehem. I said they assigned them to be Levitical shepherds in Bethlehem. Now the law was laws of Rabbanan. Say it with me, laws of Rabbanan. That means these are laws that were considered equal laws with the Torah, but they were mandated by the rabbis in the custom, in the context of custom. Okay, so the laws of Rabbanan mandated that the lambs have to be born in Bethlehem. So all the lambs were bred in Bethlehem, and they were purchased in Bethlehem. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lamb of God was born in Bethlehem. Oh, I hope you're hearing this. Say this with me. It was a law that they could only breed lambs for sacrifice to be offered as an offering from Bethlehem. Somebody should give God the praise, and somebody should say, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I receive all the messianic signs. Oh, yes. Messianic signs. They had to be born and bred. They had to be born in Bethlehem and inspected by Levitical shepherds. Do you hear this? All right. And they had to be purchased with temple treasury, with silver shkalim. Do you realize that Judas did not go to Pharisees? Judas did not go to zealots. Judas went to the chief priests because it was temple treasury that had to purchase Jesus. Do you see the perfect lamb? Are you seeing this? Judas went to the chief priest because every lamb had to be purchased with temple treasury shekels. Are you hearing this? Say this with me, the shekels from the temple treasury. Do you realize that Judas went to the chief priest? The chief priest said, Judas said, what will you give me for him? And they said, 30 pieces of silver. They didn't take it out of their pocket. They took it out of the temple treasury to purchase the lamb that was born in Bethlehem. Can I get a witness somewhere? I said, they took it out of the treasury to purchase the lamb who was born in Bethlehem. Atonement, unconcealed, Calvary revealed. Say it with me, atonement, unconcealed, Calvary revealed. Now, beloved, to stop the plague. So how did David, what happened with David when Satan stood up? What is going to stop the plague? The Bible tells us, go and rear up an altar and build it in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Okay, you can look at it and say, well, okay, maybe because, you know, Ornan the Jebusite. But one thing we didn't understand until 2 Chronicles chapter 3. What's the mystery of Ornan the Jebusite? What messianic mystery? Okay, I want you to see it's the messianic mystery of Mount Moriah. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the messianic mystery of Mount Moriah. Oh, my goodness, the mystery of all mysteries. Hallelujah, in Mount Moriah. I want you to see, beloved saints, go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and we're going to close it with this, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 1. And would you go ahead and read this for us, Pastor Sanjay, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1.
Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite.
Okay, in Mount Moriah. Say it with me, in Mount Moriah. Okay, why is Mount Moriah so important? Because it's a reflection of the perfection of Calvary. Yeah. Do you know why? This is where God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son who you love. I said, take your only son who you love and offer him there on one of the mountains that I will tell you of, Genesis 22, verse 2. On one of the mountains I will tell you of, in Mount Moriah. Say it with me. In Mount Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you of. Okay, so Mount Moriah is a range of mountains. And that's when the Bible tells us, if you look at Genesis 22, I'll just quote it for you. Genesis 22, verse 4, the Bible says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. First, Abraham got up early in the morning. Verse 3 says, he rose up early in the morning and he saddled his donkey. What does that mean? That means God revealed him to this commandment to him through a dream. This is how God spoke to the patriarchs. They had dreams, and God appeared to them in dreams, and Abraham woke up from the dream, immediately saddled his donkey, and took with him two servants. Now, I want you to understand something. In verse 4, it tells us, and on the third day, turn to your neighbor and say, the third day represents the resurrection. On the third day, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Are you following me? Now, I want you to look at verse 6. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 22. And verse 6 of Genesis chapter 22 is one of the most important verses. The Bible says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and what did he do? He laid it on Isaac. That means the wood was put on the back of Isaac to walk up Mount Moriah, where a father would sacrifice a son. Are you following me? Say this with me. This tells it all. Because the Father in heaven was willing to sacrifice his only son, to lay the wood on his back with two servants. Do you realize that Abraham took two of his servants? The Bible tells us in Luke's gospel that two malefactors walked up the hill of Calvary with Jesus. Do you see why Mount Moriah is so important? Because Mount Moriah looks like Calvary. Do you understand? Everything that looks like Calvary is an atonement. Somebody ought to say there is no atonement unless it looks like Calvary.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.